We begin the current daf Masechet Yevamos, daf Nun Vav. We begin on the second line for the Tav Niyamet, where the Gemara continues quoting our Mishnah that opened up this parak, Habal Yevimtoi. If someone has cohabitation with his Yevama in any one of these what's called Bias Gruis, even in these deficient ways, it's not done with the appropriate intentions and attention and complete cohabitation, in spite of that, that the Mishnah says will be considered an appropriate kinyan of Yibum. On that, the Mishnah also said, Echad HaMa'ara, Ve'echad HaGomer Kana, whether it's only just, as we explained in the previous staff, just the beginning stage of cohabitation, which is called Hara, or even if it's a complete cohabitation, either one would be considered an acquisition of the Yavama in the midst of Yibam. Now, on that, the Gemara has the following question, which is the Machlekes Mai Kana. Regarding doing one of these deficient types of bees, which we said, whether it's Hara or doing in any one of these other types of fashions, as we said, that it's even Oynis or Shoigig or Mazid, that will be considered a kinyan of Yibum. What is it that's being acquired with that deficient type of cohabitation? So that Rav Amar Kana L'Kali says that one would acquire the Yavama for every halacha that comes along with that. And that is, if let's say the Yavam is a kohen, so she would immediately begin eating Truma, even if let's say he goes overseas right after he performs that first hurrah, and he never even had a complete cohabitation. But just like our Mishnah says that Echad Hama'ar would be kaina, so you're kaina for everything, even for eating Truma. Ushmol Amar, he argues. He says that Loi Kana, when our Mishnah says that you'll acquire the Yavama, even with, let's say, just with hurrah, that's Ela L'Dvarim Hamur BeParsha. That's only for things that are written explicitly in the Parsha of Yibum. Because where do we know that Abiyah Psula works for Yibum? Because it says, Yavama Yavay Aleha, that her Yavam will cohabit with her, which the Gemara had already darshaned of Nundalam and Aleph, that's in all types of bias, whether it's inadvertent, or whether it was deliberately, let's say, for Mises Nos, or even if one was coerced or willingly, that's where we know the halacha. So whatever it says in the parasha of Yibum, where that's including in this context, even, let's say, B'Shoigig or B'Mezid, that is, those halachas are going to be included, that will be a kinyan. For example, Leirish ben Nechsei Achiv, to inherit the estate of his brother who died without any children. As the Pasuk there says, in Devarim Chafein, the Pasuk in the Parash of Yibam, it says, Yakum HaShem Achiv, that the Yavam will then stand in the place of his brother's estate. And Ulefoitrim in the Yibam, to exempt her, this Yavama, from Yibam, and that, let's say, if the Yavam now dies without any children from her, but he has children, let's say, from another woman, then she'll be permitted to go and marry other people, because that original Zika that she had, he exempted with this Hara. Now she's his wife and he has children, so she can marry other people. Or if, let's say, if he wants to divorce her, he wouldn't need Chalitza anymore. All he would need would be a get. Or if, let's say, if she had a co-wife, by doing this Bia Gerua with her, that would go ahead and exempt the co-wife. And that is regarding the halachas that are mentioned in the Parsha of Yibum. That is fulfilled with this Bia Gerua. But for other halachas that are regards to any wife, that wouldn't be with a Bia Gerua, that you would actually have to have a Bia Gemur, you would have to have a total consummation of the relationship. And although it says in our Mishnah that they are Kana, it's only Kana for the Pesukim, for the Parashas of Yibam. Now, and that the Gemara has two versions of this Machlekes. In the first version, the Gemara clarifies as follows. Gemara says that Min HaNisuin, in other words, where this Yavama is falling, meaning her husband that just died without any children, had already done Nisuin with her, which is the second stage of marriage. That is, what that means is that when she was married to her first husband, she had already been eating, because this is obviously a family of Kahanim, because we're talking about their paternal brothers. So that means she already ate Truma by that one that died without any children. Now, however, when the husband dies, so then she's not considered anymore what's called Kinyan Kasboy. The whole reason why a wife is allowed to eat Truma is because she's considered an acquisition of his money. Once he dies, so then she stops eating Truma. But however, in such a case, L'devei HaKoel, according to everybody, no one would argue that this Yavam now would acquire this Yavama with this, quote, deficient Bia for the purposes of Achal, that she would continue eating Truma even according to Shmuel. And the reason is, Dohavas Ka'achla Mikar, because she had already been eating Truma by the first husband, now that he dies. So that relationship then goes over through the Zika to the Yavam. Once you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Yibum, even if, let's say, Shmuel holds is only in the context of Yibum, but that will resume that original marriage that was there by him, by the first husband, where she had already been eating Truma, so even Shmuel would agree that she would be able to eat Truma. Ki Paligi Mina Eris, and the Machlekes between Rav and Shmuel was, if she was only engaged, in the halachic sense of kedushin by the first husband who davened on the children, that's machlekes. Rav Amar Eicheles. Rav says even there shall be able to eat truma by the yavam's deficient bia. The reason is the harabi rachman the bia shalik gemesin. Doesn't make a difference. The Torah tells you that even an inadvertent or a deliberate type of a bia that the yavam is doing to the yavam, as we learn from yavam and yavalah, is considered a full-fledged bia for the mitzvah of yibam. Hence, she's like his wife. If she's his wife, then she eats truma because he's a kohen. Shmuel Amri says no. Ki Rabbi Rachmana, when did the Torah include all these types of deficient types of cohabitations? Is lo ukmi b'mokem bal, is only to give him the same authority that the husband had in this woman. And that means to say, if, let's say, she was married to the first husband, so she was already eating truma, then with this deficient type of bia, that will be enough to take over what your brother's relationship was with her, which would then be able to continue eating truma. But to be stronger than the husband, if let's say when she was married to the husband, she wasn't eating truma, and that's because a woman cannot eat truma, at least rabbinically, until she has chuppah, until she has nisuin, then lie. Then therefore, with a deficient type of a bia, the yavam cannot be better than the husband, and since she was not eating truma by the husband, until he would do a full-fledged bia with a das of kinyan, which would make her a full-fledged wife, even Shmuel would agree, but until you do that, with the bia grua, maybe you'd be able to be yarshin the brother's estate or to exempt her from yibam, but however would not allow her to eat truma. Now that the Gemara tells us, for us the Shmuel tamei, this is Shmuel according to his opinion mentioned elsewhere. Damer of Nachman Omer Shmuel, he said that kol shahabal meichel, whatever the situation is that the husband would have been feeding her truma, well then yavam meichel, then yavam, where obviously we're talking about a deficient bia, because once he does a full-fledged bia that she's his wife, then all relationships between the husband and wife would apply. We're talking about even with a deficient type of cohabitation, let's say it was inadvertent, then he would also feed. The choshein abal meichel, wherever the husband was not feeding truma, meaning when, let's say, they were just engaged, then Yav Meina Meichel, then the Yavam would not feed her with a Bia Gru again, seeing the same idea about Shmuel, that the Yavam, although we learn in the Pasuk Bia Grua will work for Yibam, that's only as much as what the husband had beforehand. But if the husband didn't have it, let's say from Erison, then the Yavam with this Bia Grua wouldn't make it any better than the husband to feed her Truma. Now that the Gemara says Meisve. The Gemara asks from the following Braisa on Shmuel's interpretation. The Braisa says, Bas Yisrael Pakachas, a Jewish woman with intelligence, that's mentally competent, Shenis'ars LeKoyin Pikech, that's engaged to a Koyin that also has intelligence. Now, V'lo Hispik LeKoyin Sa'ad Shenis'charash, what happened is that there wasn't time yet, in other words, before they got a chance to get Nisuin, to get married, he became a Charash, a deaf mute, which in Halacha is not considered like he has Das. So therefore the Braisa says, Eino Eicheles, therefore, this Jewish woman, although generally a woman married to a kohen could eat truma, this woman cannot. Now, the Gemara will explain shortly, that although really biblically, just kedushin already allows a woman through kinyan kasboy to eat truma, and here when they got engaged, he did have das, and he was sane, and therefore she should be able to eat truma. However, the halacha is that we do not allow it until after nisuin, which although once she gets married over here to the Cheresh, that Gezerah D'Rabbanan should not apply. However, this opinion holds that we make a Gezerah of Nisui Cheresh if we allowed a woman that's married to a Cheresh, although the Kedushin was biblical, which is enough to allow her to eat Truma. If we said that would work, then we might come to allow it even when she does Kedushin with the Cheresh, which that even biblically would be a problem, because since he's a Cheresh, a deaf mute, and he doesn't have Das, she wouldn't become Kinyan Kasboy Min HaTorah to be considered married to her, and then she would be eating truma inappropriately, and that would be an isser. So hence, even now where the Nesu Cheresh should work, even on a rabbinic level, but we say that we don't allow it, she can't eat now, even if they consummate the relationship because of Kedusha Cheresh, which there would be an isser deraisa of her eating truma. Now, the Braisa continues, says, if this Cheresh dies after that he did Nesuin with her, v'nafl afnei yavim Cheresh, and then not only is he Cheresh, but his brother, the Yavam, is also Cheresh, then actually Oicheles, she actually could go ahead and eat Truma by the relationship she has now with the Yavam. And the reason is because the Bia of a Cheresh is not any less than the Bia that we mentioned in our Mishnah, that we said that for Yibum purposes, even Shoigig or Znus or Oinis, where the intention is not to be cutting the har for the purposes of Yibam, and yet still, as we learned from Yavam Yavalehu, that's included for the Yavam to be considered a full-fledged Biya for Yibam purposes. Hence, she can go ahead and eat his truma because she's married to him, although generally, by a cherish, he doesn't have das, but by regarding the halachos of Yibam, you don't need to have das. And therefore the Braisa says, Ubizu yafa kaychayav mekaychabal. What comes out interestingly, although generally you would say that the Yavim is only taking over what the Baal has, here the Yavim's strength is going to be stronger than the husband. Because whereas by the Baal, when he's a cherish, he cannot have her eat truma, here the Yavam, since he doesn't need to have das, so the fact that he's a cherish doesn't make it any worse, he can go ahead and give her truma that he has because he's a kain. Now, on that the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlem l'Rav, this Braisa makes a lot of sense according to Rav, that he says, Abiya Grua, which is what we're talking about regarding these two brothers that are cherish, that would be kind of even for everything, like he says, Lakol, even for eating truma, Senicha, the Braisa would make sense that the Yavim could go ahead, and even though it's Abiya Grua, but it's Kana Lakol, even for truma purposes. But El Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, it's difficult, and the reason is, as the Gemara explained the logic of Shmuel, was that whatever she was not eating by her husband, the Yavim cannot go ahead and give her to eat. Now, in this case, where the Cheresh was not giving her to eat, the original husband died without any children, because he was a Cheresh before Nisun, and we said, at least rabbinically, that that's a concern of Kedushi Cheresh, and yet still we see over here that Yavim will be able to give her, and we see not like Shmuel's Halacha, that Kol She'in Habal Meichel, which in this case he was not, and the Yavim is being Meichel. So then the Gemara says, Amal HaShmuel, Shmuel would tell you, Imahachi. You have to amend the Braisa as follows. There's a sentence in the middle that has to be added. You're right, the Braisa said, V'lehispik l'koin sa'achin ischeresh. If let's say there was a mentally competent woman and a mentally competent koin who got engaged, but before he got a chance to do nisuin, he became a deaf mute. And then the Braisa said, Einachel esbe truma. So then she doesn't need truma, as we said, because we make a gzera, nisu icheresh, atikidushi icheresh. Now, however, what's added on is this. If konas v'achakach nischarish, if he first got married and then he became a deaf mute, well then achelis, by the moment that they already had nisuin, they were regular people, so then the fact that he became a deaf mute later doesn't take away, she was already kinyan kasboy, and there's no concern even about nisuin cherish because he wasn't a cherish by nisuin, so then she could eat truma. And that is what the Braisa continues after that amended sentence that was put in, that then if after that he married her and then he became a cherish, and then he died, and then the nafluf in the yavim cherish, and then she falls in front of the yavim that's a cherish, then she will eat truma, and the reason is because that's exactly Shmuel's halacha. Because then the Baal was meichel, so the yavim will be eichel. Now, that the question then is, umay bezu. So how do we understand the end of the Braisa, which says, oh, bezu yafa kaychai. In this element, the yavim is stronger and better than the husband. How does it make it better? The husband was also feeding her truma. So how does that make the yavim better by him also being able to feed her truma? So that the Gemara explains, because the ilu baal, because in contrast to the husband, cherish me'ikara, if he was originally a cherish before he did nisuin tar, then lo yecheles, then he would not be able to give her truma. The ilu yavim, that stands in contrast to the yavim, were cherish me'ikara achle, even if he was always a cherish, it doesn't make a difference, he will always give her to eat truma, and therefore, however, but it's not a difficulty according to Shmuel, because it has to be that ultimately the husband was giving her truma, and then the Yavim could give a truma, but the Yipu Kayach is in the sense of that it doesn't make a difference even her original encounter with the Yavim. He was already a Cheresh, because since he's taking over what the husband had, although the husband, if he was originally a Cheresh, would not be able to, but since the husband was Michael, so the Yavim will be able to Michael. That's the first version of this Machlekes. The Yigadami, there are those that say a different version in this Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. And that is actually Mina Erisin Devi Hakol Loyachol. If she was only engaged to the husband that died without any children, then everyone would agree that the Yavim, who now is taking over that relationship with this Biya Grud, this deficient type of a Biya, that then she would not eat Truma. And the reason is, because as Shmuel had said in the first version, where in this version even Rav's agreeing, she wasn't eating Truma when she was with the first husband, so this Yavim that's taking it over with this Biya Grua is not going to be stronger than the husband. The machlekes actually was if she was married to the first husband. So Rav Amar Eicheles, Rav says that she'll eat truma, to havas ochla meikara, because she was originally eating what this truma by the first husband. So now that when she goes back to that relationship with this deficient bia, So the Torah includes that's considered yibum. So that's a taking over of that first husband relationship, which will continue the eating of truma. Because Shmuel says, no, actually, even if she fell from nisuin, if you're doing a deficient bia, she'll not eat truma. Because ki Rabbi Rachman the bia shayke gemeza, when did the Torah include whether it be an inadvertent or deliberate type of a bia? Lidvarm hamur meparsha. That's only as it says yivama yovei leha. Any type of bia are for the things that are said in the parasha of yibum, as we said regarding yerusha, regarding the halachas of exempting from yibum. But for other types of halachas, like being considered married to him for eating truma, that wasn't said. That's until you would do a bia gemur with das. Now, on that the Gemara asks, which although in the first version we said that that is synonymous with his opinion, the Gemara says now va'amar of Nachman Shmuel, but Shmuel is on record as saying not like that, because he says kol shabal meichel, wherever it is that the husband would feed truma, which is if let's say she was married to him, then you have a meichel that then the yavam would give to eat. Which, as we're saying, that's even by a bia grua, and yet here we're saying that even if she was, if she had nisun with the first husband, the yavam would not give truma. So that the Gemara says, Ema, according to this version, you have to amend that statement of Rav Nachman, name of Shmuel, that it's a different halacha. That kol bia, any type of cohabitation, shahabal meichel ba, that through that type of a bia, the husband, meaning the original husband, would have fed her truma. In other words, if it's a bia that's for chuppah, in other words, for the purpose of getting married, that's considered a kedushin, that's moving towards nisuin, which would then allow her to eat truma, that is where yavam meichel ba, that type of a bia, the yavam would also give her to eat truma. But b'chol bia she'en abal meichel ba, any type of bia where the husband would not give her to eat truma, then ein yavam meichel ba, then the yavam would not be able to. Again, it has to be with the intention of consummating that relationship, but it has nothing to do with the fact that if he had been feeding her, then the yavam feeds her. Rather, it's talking about types of bias that the husband would allow truma, then the yavam with that type of bia with also. But again, it doesn't refute his halach over here that even if she had been eating, that she's not necessarily going to be able to eat now with this bia grua. Now the Gemara asks, as it did in the first version, Meisve, the Gemara asked on Shmuel's interpretation for the following price. It says, Bas Yisrael Pakachas, again, a mentally competent Jewish woman, Shunasash Lekoin Pekech, that's engaged to a Koin Pekech. Didn't get a chance to get married before he became a deaf mute. Well, then ain't no chalas. Then she can't eat, as we said, because of nisui cheresh otu kedushi cheresh. Now, if Meis, if he dies, and then she falls to Yibum, to his brother, who is also cheresh, then she does eat. And that's the strength that actually is better for the Yavam than by the husband, who she wasn't able to eat truma, and now she could. Now, that the Gemara asks, according to the second version, Bishlem l'Rav, that we understand according to Rav, although this Brisa does pose a difficulty for Rav, because the Brisa says that she could eat Truma by the union of the Yavam, in spite of the fact that she had not been eating beforehand by her original husband. Now, so then essentially, it's like the case of when she falls from Erison, where in this second version of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, even Rav agrees that she cannot eat because she had not been eating beforehand. And here by the Cheresh also she had not been eating beforehand. Of that, the Gemara says, that wouldn't be difficult. And because Mitaretz Kedetaretz Meikar, we would answer the way we answered for Shmuel in the Lishna Kam in the first version, where there's a line missing and you have to amend it. And it has to say that, however, if let's say she first got married and then it became a Cheresh, then she eats by the first husband. Then when he dies and she falls in front of Yivam, then the Cheresh would give her to eat. That's because that's an element of Achle Mikar, where she had been eating already by the first husband, which is similar to the case of Nisuin, which in the second version Rav would hold would be a Cheles. But according to Shmuel, that in this second version he holds that even if she had been eating Truma by her first husband, still she cannot eat when the Yavam does this deficient bia with her, because it only allows for, let's say, Yerusha of the brother's estate, or regarding the halachas of Yibum. According to that version, Kashit's difficult, because here you have the bia of a Cheresh, which is the same as a bia of Shogeg and Oinus, which is not with the intention of Kinyan, meaning like a bia grua, and yet we say that there is going to be a Kinyan, and Shmuel holds under no circumstances would that allow it, even if it's coming from Nisuin. According to the second version, it only allows for halachas of Yerusha and of Yibum. I think Mark concludes, Kasha, according to the second version, Shmuel's interpretation would be difficult from that Brisa. Now, the Gemara continues on a related topic. Tarabana, we learn the Brisa. Again, Bas Yisrael Pakachas, a mentally competent Jewish woman, shenis'as l'kain pekech, that's engaged to a man with intelligence, v'lehisbik l'kain sa'at shenis'chash, again, similar to that previous case, and before they got married, he became a deaf mute. Now, that halacha is, as we said before, in a cheles, should then, therefore, that marriage, which generally, at least rabbinically, then allows you to eat truma, since now he's a cheresh already, would not allow it to eat truma. But noyla ben, if let's say she gives birth to a son, then she could actually eat truma because of her son. Because as the pasuk says in Yikach of Beis, v'yilid beisai, that the children of the Kohen's household, so it says, him yochlu balachma, they can eat from his bread, meaning from truma. Now, we read it, yachilu, that they will make eaten, meaning they will eat, they will feed others. In other words, by the mother having children from the Kohen, those children have it that she can eat because of them. Not because of her husband, as we said, but because of the children. Now, if Mesa Ben, if the child dies and the father's still alive, so we have a machlekes. Reb Nosson Amar Echeles. Reb Nosson says she could continue eating truma because of her husband. She can't eat because of the children because they're not alive anymore. V'chama say no, she can't eat. When, because of the husband, she wasn't able to eat. And now she had a child, that's why she could eat. But if the child dies, so then you go back to not being able to eat. So the Gemara has my time with Reb Nosson. What's the reason of Reb Nosson that he holds that if the child dies, then you could eat? Why could you eat? Because the husband, you weren't able to eat. So why does that help you now? So Amarabi says, Hayil shekfar achla, similar to the svaris we had before, since she had already eaten before. So now, although the son died, but now that she's still married to the husband, although originally the husband's marriage would not allow it, but since she already started, so now that she's married to him, she could continue eating truma. Now, that Amalei Abaye said to him, if that's the case, because once she started, but how is that a svar? How is that logic? If a regular non-Kohen woman gets married to a Kohen, and then that husband dies without any children, because if there were children, she would eat because of the children, then Teichel, so what would you say? That she should continue eating Shekva Achle, because she already started eating that, and that's not the case, because she could only eat when she's in that relationship. When he dies and there's no children, she doesn't continue eating. So that refutes your logic that you say, oh, because she already started eating. So Ella, rather, Kivin the Misle, the reason for that halacha is because once he dies, Pakale Kedusha Semina, so then his Kedusha that she had with him gets removed from her. So Hachanam Hirosa, Kivin the Misle, Pakale Kedusha Semina. Once this child dies, so then that Kedusha is removed from her. And therefore, although the husband's alive, that husband does not give her the rights to eat Truma. So what would be the Svara, because that she already started eating, that she could be able to continue eating? Elam of Yesa, rather, Yesa says a different Svara. Says Kisav Reb Nosson, Reb Nosson holds that Nisui Cheresh, the marriage of a Cheresh, in other words, in the case of that we're describing, where that when they got engaged, Kedushin, that then he was mentally competent, then he was a Bikach, actually is Machilim B'Truma, that would go ahead and feed Truma. In other words, not like how we had been assuming up until now, when we quoted that Braisa that said that Nisui Cheresh would not allow Truma. Reb Nosson actually argues on that, as Rashi elaborates. Says, actually, biblically, the halacha is, from the time of Erisin, of Kedushin, a woman that's married to, engaged to a Kohen could start eating truma. Because the pasuk says, V'Kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyin kasboy, hu yoichel boy, that is, if a Kohen acquires, which that's what Kedushin does, an acquisition, which includes a wife, then those acquisitions could go ahead and start eating truma. Now, however, there's a gzer drabanan that up until chuppah, when there's nisuin, we don't allow the woman that's engaged to eat truma. And that's because of Gezer Drabanan, because if he's going to give her his, let's say, truma wine, and then she's going to go back home to her father where she still lives because she's not intimate yet with him because she doesn't have Nisuin, and then she's going to give her brothers and her sisters to drink from that, as the Gemara Ksuba says, and that would be a problem because they're not married to a kind, the siblings. Therefore, we say that a regular Arusa cannot have truma. However, but since at the time of Kinyan, this now Cheresh was a Ben Das, so now at least when there's a Chuppah, when there is Nisuin, so there it doesn't apply anymore the Gzera that maybe she's going to go ahead and feed her siblings. So what would be the problem with Nisui Cheresh? Now, the only problem would be, like the Chacham who argue on that, and they say, oh, you're right, Nisui Cheresh should really have all your bases covered, because you have the biblical halacha of Kedushin. The whole problem is that up until when they live together, she's living at home, she's going to give them to eat. But once they get married, this Nisui with a Cheresh, so then she's not going to give her siblings to eat. And moreover, he says, He argues with the Chacham and he says that we don't make such a gzera that say, oh, wait a second. If we're going to allow a woman that has marriage with a cheresh to eat truma, we might come to think that the same thing would apply even if she has kedushin with a cheresh, and that's actually not biblically the halacha, because a cheresh cannot have a kinyan deraisa in a woman, which would make her biblically forbidden to have truma. We don't make such a gzera of the confusion. Whereas Rabbanu, who say that it is aser, because they do make this gzera, as we mentioned before, of nisui cheresh, where he did have das at the time of kedushin, because then we might confuse it, and if he's going to do kedushin when he is a cheresh, where then his kinyan is not a kinyan, and therefore that's the understanding of the machlokes between Rav Nosson and the Chacham. Now, on that, the Gemara asks on this interpretation of Rabbi Yosef. If that's the case, why, even if her child dies, that she continue eating truma because of her husband, because although that's nisui cheresh, but you could eat truma because of nisui cheresh, because he doesn't make the gzer d'rabban or the kedusha cheresh. Well, then I'm like, abaya, ehachi, so I don't understand. Noyla ben lamali, why does the b'risa have to say that she had a child, so she could eat because of the child, which that's always the case. But if the child dies, oh, then that's not a problem, because you could eat because of the husband. Why? Because nisu cheresh. So then why mention the element of a ben, even without having a child, the way Rav Yosef is interpreting, the woman can go ahead and eat truma when she has nisu cheresh, when the marriage happened, when he was already deaf-mute? I think my answer is, you're right. Mishum Rabbanan. The only reason why noyla haben, that she's eating because the child was mentioned, was only coming to teach the opinion of the Chachamim, who they argue, but they would agree that if there is a child, that then they can go ahead, the woman could eat because of the children. On that, the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, then v'liflig Rav Nosson alaya bereisha. Then Rav Nosson should have argued already in the reisha. There's two cases. There's a case of the child being born, that then you can eat. And then when the child dies, where then we mention the machlokes Rav Nosson l'chacham. But on that, the Gemara asks, based on Rav Yosef's interpretation, right away when it says noyla ben oicheles, Rav Yosef should argue and says, no, you don't need noyla ben. Even without a son, you can eat. Forget about that, even if there's a son and then he dies. I don't argue just over there. I argue even if the child wasn't even born, because nisui cheresh is not a problem. So now the Gemara answers, you're right. But shavaglul rabbanon adem misayim emelsayo. First, Rav Nosson waited until the Rabbanon finished all the statements they wanted to say. V'hadu palgalayu, and then he argued on them. And that is when Rav Nosson said oicheles, that this woman could eat, he was arguing on all of the Chacham's statement. In other words, not only on the seifa that regarding when the child dies, but even in the reisha, before the child was even born, that the Rabbanah said that then you can't eat yet because there's no child. And that, Rav Nosson waited till they finished their statement and says, no, you could always eat even if there's no child, again, because nisui cheresh is okay. You don't make such a gezerah. Now, that the Gemara asks, but ihach, if that's the case, that, like you're saying, the Rav Nosson's arguing, even on the reisha, it's just that he waited until Rabbanah finished their whole statement to argue. But then, listen, the b'risa should say as follows. It should say, meis haben, eino eicheles. It should say that if the son dies, then the mother doesn't eat. In other words, that would have been a completion of the Rabbanan's entire statement in one paragraph. And then, Rav Nosson omar eimer eicheles. And then it should have said, after the whole statement of the Chachamim, that Rav Nosson says that she does eat, which then the eicheles would be going back an entire statement. But the problem is, now you can't say that as if he waited for the whole thing, because it seems like, the way it says it, it first quotes Rav Nosson, and then it quotes the Chachamim, which sounds like that Rav Nosson's actually only going back on the previous case of Meis HaBen, and not on the case of the Reisha that even before the child's born. And if the Gemara concludes Kasha, that seems to be a difficulty with Rav Yosef's interpretation in this Braisa. Why was it that the Braisa was set up that way if he's waiting for the Chacham to end, if Rav Nosson actually comes in the middle and the Chacham say, should have waited till after the end? And the Gemara continues from the Mishnah that's talking about these bias gruis, these deficient types of cohabitations, whether because the act wasn't a full act, or because it wasn't done with the appropriate concentration, or intention, or kavana. So that will still be considered a kinyan in the Yavama. And the Mishnah continued, even regarding other areas of halacha, the chen haba halachas mekala arayis, the same thing would apply to someone that has a forbidden relation with one of the arayis in the Torah. The same thing would apply even if it wasn't a regular full-fledged cohabitation. Now, Amar Avam Ram says, which this is going to come relative to this statement of the Mishnah, he says, Hamilsa Amalon Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha told us the following Amoraic statement, and we continue to Amid Beis, and then, Va'anharinu La'ainin Mimasnitin. And then he went and brought a proof and lit up our eyes from our Mishnah, which illustrates his halacha. Because the statement that Rav Shesha said was as follows. He said, Ashes Yisrael Shenensa. regarding a woman that's married to a non-Kohen that got violated by a different man. So, Ava Pisha Materis Labailo, even though she is permitted to her husband, as the Pasuk says in Midbar Hei, says, Vehi Lo Nisfasa, that if she wasn't forced by this other man to have this illicit relationship, then she's forbidden to her husband. But the inference is, if she was violated against her will, then she's permitted to her husband. However, if she has taught us that Pasula Lekuna, in spite of that, she is invalid now to marry a Kohen. That is, if let's say her husband dies subsequently, then although she's an almana, which is permitted to a Kohen-Hedyot, she would be forbidden to the Kohen because of this illicit relationship she had to someone that was puzzled to her because she was an Eish HaSish. And the Tana Tuna, and that was brought to a support from our Mishnah, where the Tana says, V'chein ha-ba'al achas m'kal ha-rayas ha-murs ba-toyra oi pesulois. The same thing applies regarding what our Mishnah was talking about, that if someone has a relationship with one of the arayas in the Torah or something that's forbidden because of, let's say, a kohen hedyot to a grusha or a kohen gadol almana, that will make the woman pasul for kohuna. Now, that the Gemara says, my v'chein, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, and also, my love, isn't it going back on the what the Mishnah had been saying, that when we said regarding the king of Yibam, between the Yavam and the Yavama, that it said, it doesn't make a difference if their cohabitation was inadvertently, he thought she was someone else. Of whether it was deliberately, meaning he wanted it to be an illicit relationship. Or it doesn't make a difference even if they were coerced. It doesn't make a difference if it was willing, whatever the circumstances were. It's considered cohabitation. Viktani, and on that, our Mishnah says that if someone's Baal Achas Mekalarais Batayra, that pasla, that would invalidate her for kahuna. Now, Eishas Ish, a married woman, is one of the Rais in the Torah, and therefore we see from our Mishnah that when it says Vechein, that even if it was a situation of Oinis, she was violated against her will, but there was an act of cohabitation, will make her pasla kahuna. And that supports Rav Sheshes Halacha, that he said that although a woman that was violated is permitted to her husband, if he's not a Kayan, but she'll be pasul to kuhuna, as we see that it's still considered cohabitation to invalidate her from kuhuna. The Gemara says loy. No, there's no raya for Rav Sheshes Halacha from our Mishnah. Because my vechein, what is the Mishnah going on when it says, and also what's it going back on that it had mentioned regarding the halachas of Yibam? It's not going back on Shbein Meshogi, Bein Bemezi, Bein Meratzim, Bein Ba'inus. Because actually, regarding the halachas of Oinus, she would not be considered forbidden to kohuna. Rather, it's going ahara, it's going back on that we said that cohabitation doesn't have to be a full act. It could be even the beginning stage. But, however, it's talking about that if that was done willingly between this woman and another man, even though she's married, that would make her into a zayna, and then she would be pasul to kohuna, but not necessarily even if it was done against her will. To which the Gemara asks, I don't understand. How can you say that's the interpretation of a chain to refute the raya of Rav Sheshes from our Mishnah? Hara daman. Exactly whose beginning stage of a cohabitation are you mentioning? Ile mada arayis, if you would say, as it seems from the Mishnah, saying, and also regarding all the arayis in the Torah, that what? That hara will be like marbia, just like we say by what? By yevama. Lemem da arayis, yafinim yevama. Is that coming to say, as the words of the Mishnah would seem to indicate, that the halachas of arayis are learned out from Yevama, that just like Yevama haro would be like a gemar bia, so to the arayis? Other rabbi, to the contrary. Yevama yafinam arayis. Actually, the halachas of yibum are learned out from arayis, as the gemara had learned in the previous daf, that we learned out the word bia by Yevama from the word bia by one of the arayis of the chiv alavin. Because actually, the ikhara by arayis ksiv, the primary halachas of learning out haro, that the beginning stage of cohabitation is like gemar bia, is actually written by arayis, primary of them, where it says by nida, which compares all the arayis to them. And therefore, how could the Mishnah say v'chein to be comparing arayis to yavama, as if we're learning it out from yavama, if the primary place is arayis, and we learn yibam actually from arayis? So the Gemara says that no, it's still not a right to Rav Sheshes, because my v'chein, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, and also, it's ashaloi kedarka darayis. It's a reference to a cohabitation with a forbidden relationship in an unnatural way. In other words, that we said in the Mishnah by Yevama, that we did not differentiate regarding the kinyan of Yevama between what type of bia it is, even if it's the natural type, or if it's an unnatural type of cohabitation. On that, our Mishnah says that b'chein ha-ba'al achas b'kal ha-rayis, but Torah would make her apostle tekuna because of a zayna. But, however, it doesn't support Rav Sheshes, because it would be talking about that she submitted herself, she did a baratzin for this unnatural cohabitation, and however, at least according to one version in Rashi Sekira, says that because we learn out Bia from Yevama, whereby Yevama it says Ulakacha, that then one goes ahead and can take the Yevama where the Gemara had learned in the previous daf, that includes even Shaloi Kedarki, even if the union was in an unnatural way, and that we learn out actually Arayas from Yevama, which would teach us regarding Shaloi Kedarka, but not regarding even Ba'inus. Now, that the Gemara asks on that interpretation. Other Rabbi, to the contrary. Iker mishkavei isha barais ksiv. Regarding the illicit relationships, it says in the Torah, mishkavei isha, which the plural of mishkavei seems to indicate that there's an equality between the different types of cohabitation, the two ways of cohabiting with a woman in the natural way or in the unnatural way. And therefore, why would we need to learn out arayas from Yevama to say v'chein? And that would be in the context of Shalei Kedarka, it's actually the primary source for the concept of equating unnatural to natural type of cohabitation actually learned from Marais itself. So, Elamai V'chein, so the Gemara concludes, so rather, what does V'chein mean if we don't want it to be a right to Rav Sheshes? Shalei Kedarka D'chi V'lavin. It's actually going on, yes, unnatural cohabitation, but not for all Arais, because all Arais we actually know from Mishka Ve'isha, but regarding negative prohibitions, for example, with Amon the Tarkayin Godol, or Grisha Ve'chalutza Tarkayin Hedya, where there it doesn't say in the context of Chiyuv Lavin Mishka Ve'isha. That's only by the Arais to have Karis. But however, regarding the Lochas of Hara, for example, Rashi says, that the Mishnah didn't have to tell us that the same thing would apply to Chiyuv Lavin, because that actually, as we learned in previous stuff, we know Hara V'chiyuv Lavin from Kicha, from Arais, and therefore, actually what V'chein means regarding Arais is regarding a specific case of Shaloi Kedarka for Chiyuv Lavin, but again, not a right to Rav Sheshes, that it would be even including if the woman was violated po'ainis to say that she'd be pasul tikuna. Now, the Gemara continues related to this previous discussion regarding about a woman that was violated by another man while she was still married. So that Omar and the Gir says, Rabba says, Eishes Kain Shenensa, regarding a married woman that's married to a Kain that was violated by another man against her will. So, Baila Loikala Meshum Zaina. If the husband continues to have relations with his wife who was violated by someone else, he actually will get lashes because of having a relationship with a Zaina, as the Pasuk says, Beikur Chavalov, Zaina Lo Yikachu. He's not allowed to go ahead and have a relationship with a Zaina. Now, generally, the term Zaina refers to a woman that has another relationship with a man while she's still married to her husband. Now, although in this case, the woman was an oinus, she was violated, but however, regarding a kohen, the Torah doesn't differentiate whether if it was done willingly that she had that relationship, or even against her will. As the Gemara learns from later on, it says in the Pasuk, Behilai Nisfasa, that if a woman was not forced, then she's forbidden, but the inference is if she was forced, then she is permitted to her husband. But the term he, that she was not forced, the Gemara learns that to be an exclusion, to say that only an Eishes Yisrael, a woman married to a non-Kohen, there's a differentiation between if she was nitfas, forced, or not forced. But an Eishes Kohen, a woman married to a Kohen, there's no difference, and therefore she would be considered a Zaina, as any woman that has a relationship out of that while she's married to another man. And although generally there's a difference if she wanted it or not, but here there is no difference regarding Kohen, so she's considered a Zaina. Now, that the Gemara asked, Mishum Zaina in, there's only lashes because of her being a Zaina, and what, Mishum Tumah Loi, and how about the violation of Tumah? We said on Daf Yud Alfam Abayz that in the context of Machzik Rishas, it says, Acher Asha Hu Tamah. So the Gemara there asks, what is that coming to refer to? That after she became Tamei, comes to include a Saita that is Nivula, in other words, a married woman that has a relationship with another man, where there it says, Lo Yuchel Baal, that her husband cannot take her back, and if he does go ahead and have a relationship with his wife that had a relationship with someone else, that then she's forbidden based on Tumah. And therefore, just like you're considering her a Zaina, because even though she was coerced, doesn't make a difference, so then therefore there should also be the violation of Tumah. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema Af Mishum Zaina. That Rabbah holds that the Kohen, that his wife was violated by some other man, if he continues to have relations with her, will have not only for Tumah, but even that of the Isser, Lav, of Zaina. Now that must have Reb Zera asked to Rabbah. There's a brice that says, quoting that pasuk, "Behilay nisfasa," that if she wasn't forced, then as the pasuk says, "Asu," then she's forbidden to her husband. Han nisfasa mutas. But the inference is, if she was forced, then she's still permitted to her husband. Now, but as Rashi just said before, the term "he" is exclusionary. That is, v'yesh lecha acheres, there's another woman, she'av apishin, tzvas asura, even if she was forced, that still she's forbidden to her husband. V'eizu, and which one is that? Zu eish is kain, that's the woman married to a kain. Now, the Gemara asks, this is what Rabbi Zeir's question is to Rabba. This is what's called v'lav abo mechlal asei. This negative prohibition for the wife of a kain is only inferred from a positive commandment. In other words, this woman is who was an Eishes Yisrael is permitted to her husband. The inference is that, however, it would be forbidden if she's an Eishes Kayan. But that's only inferred from a positive commandment, which should not make it lashes because you don't get Malkus for a violation of a positive commandment. So why do you say you get Malkus because of Zayna? So Amar Rabba, Rabba says, no, you have to look at it the other way. Hakoil, any woman that's intimate with another man while she's still married to her husband, whether she did it willingly or unwillingly, essentially is already in the category of Zayna Le'ikachu because she had what's called a Bias Nus. She had an intimate relationship with another man while she's married. Now, but when the Torah then delineates and says, but if she's married to a non-Kohen, it says, however, asura, that if she wasn't forced, then she's forbidden. The inference, as we said before, but if she was forced, then she's permitted. In other words, we're excluding the woman married to a non-Kayan, that if she wasn't anus, then she's not included in the category of a zayna. But mechlal, the Eishes Kayan, get the kaima kaima. But what you could infer is that, however, a woman married to a Kayan retains that isra of zayna. In other words, you actually have to go the other way. Zayna is automatic. The pasuk is, however, saying, but a woman that's married to a non-Kayan, if she was an Inus, then we won't consider her a Zayna. But it's not that then we'll infer a lav to her Eishes Kayan from that assay. It's just that we say that Eishes Kayan doesn't have that exclusion of an Inus if she was violated against her will to be permitted. Hence, she retains the automatic violation of being considered a Zayna because she did have a relation with another man while she was married, and that's why you'll get Malkus. Now, Begadami, that doesn't say a different version of this previous Gemara, that Amar Rabba, he says, Eishes Kayan Chinensa, the woman married to a Kayan that was violated, Bala Leika Le Mishrim Tama. Husband gets lashes, because as we said before, the Pasuk says, Achri Ashur Tama, after that she was already became impure by having relations with another man, which the Gemara elsewhere explains that includes a Saita Shinevala, that's going to be the violation for a husband, for a Kayan that's a husband to a woman that was violated by another man because of considered Tama. Now the inference is, Mishum Tumah in Mishum Zayin Alai, that according to the second version of Rabbah, that he holds that the only lashes he'll get for is for the Saita Shenevela, but not for her being called a Zayin. Alma Ba'inis Le'Karina Be'Zayinis, obviously according to the second version, Rabbah holds that if a woman was violated, that doesn't make her into a Zayin, because that wasn't done willingly. It has to be done willingly for her to be considered a Zayin, for the Kayin to get the lashes for having a relationship with a Zayin. Now that must have Reb Zer asked from that same Braisa, now in the second version of Rabbah. It says, V'hiloy nisfasa, says that if the woman wasn't forced in this relation with another man, asur, then she's forbidden. Hanitfasa, but the inference is, if she was, then mutes, then if she was forced, then she's permitted. And as we said before, the word he tells us, V'yesh lo acheres, sha'af bishin nifasa asur, that is another one, that even though she was forced, is forbidden. V'ezoi, zu eishes kain, that's the wife of a kain. Now again, as he asked in the first version, he says, V'lava b'machal ase ase. So regarding that, you're saying that there's a violation of Tumah, but it's not true. It's only from an inference of this positive commandment that makes it a positive commandment by Eishes Kayan. So how do you get lashes? That Omer, the Gir says, Rabbah, HaKol Hayu Bechlal Achri Ashra Tumah. No, actually, everyone was included automatically in this violation of after having relations with another man. Keshapar L'cha HaKosav Gabi Eishes Yisrael V'hilo Netvas Asur. But then when it specifies regarding a woman married to a non-Kayan, that if she wasn't forced, then she's forbidden. So machlal, the Eishes Kayan, get the kamakam, as we said, but she retains the Eishes Kayan, the one woman married to a Kayan, retains that original Issa of Achri Ashra Tumah. It's only that the Eishes soul gets removed from that, but it's not that the inference then makes the Eishes Kayan forbidden. So the Eishes Kayan retains the original Achri Ashra Tumah, and therefore he gets lashes for that. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was talking about Abia Pesula, to someone that the woman is forbidden to, whether it's one of the arayis or whether one of the psulikuna, that then makes her apostle to kuhuna and to truma. Now the missionary discusses actually a similar type of a case where she doesn't even have bia to someone that she's apostle to. In other words, let's say from the psulikuna, but rather only has kedushin. So the mission tells us as follows: Aman al kohen gadol. If a widow to a kohen gadol, or a gusha b'chalutz le kohen hedyed, or a divorcee or a woman that had chalutz to a kohen hedyed, which these are forbidden unions, min ha erison. In other words, if let's say they were only engaged, which obviously that you're forbidden to have that type of engagement, but they didn't even have intimacy yet, they didn't even have nisuin, but they're engaged. And that the Mishnah tells us, lo yoichlu b'truma. Then the woman that's engaged to this kohen hedyed or to the kohen gadol cannot eat truma. And that is, if let's say she's a daughter of a kohen, if she's and this is going according to the second version of Rashi's preferred interpretation, if let's say she's a bas yisrael, we're saying that although biblically one would be able to go ahead and have his arusa eat truma here where it's forbidden because she's not among the kohen gadol or grusha b'chalutz the kohen hedyed, that she would not eat truma. And moreover, as Rashi even in the first version says, that if let's say she's a bas kohen, where she was already eating truma because of in her father's household, when she gets engaged to this person that she's forbidden to get married to, that now she automatically stops eating truma just by being engaged to this kohen hedyed or alman kohen gadol. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin, they hold that no, that they actually are kosher to eat truma until she has bia with this one that she's forbidden to, which would thus then make her a chalala. As the pasuk says, lo yichal, that the kohen should not make chilul, which that's in the plural. There's two chilulim, one is for her, which he makes his forbidden wife into a chalala, and one is for her children. Now, to understand this a little bit better, Rashi later on tells us that this is going according to the Mishnah Rishayna, which is mentioned in Masechtas Ksubas Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, where, although we mention Amud Aleph, that we generally do not allow a woman to eat truma when she's engaged, yet it seems like everyone is taking for granted that you would. The only question is, if it's a forbidden relationship, would it make you forbidden? And then Rashi says, we're going based on the Gemara in Ksubas in the Mishnah Rishayna that says that if, let's say, they used to wait a period of around 12 months from the Kiddushin to the Nisuin, if it reached that time and they didn't have Nisuin yet, then she actually could eat already from his estate, and moreover, she would eat truma. Now, that is where our Mishnah has the machlekes. Rav Meir says, however, if it's a mon l'kohen gadol, although you're right, it is a full-fledged kedushin, and she's considered kinyan kaspi, even if, let's say, she was a bas yisrael. Still, she cannot eat truma like other types of engaged women that biblically could eat, especially after this 12-month period. And the reason is because, as the Gemara will explain, she's what's called, she's being mishtameres labia avera, that she's anticipating. This union of kedushin is only working towards having intimacy with a man that she's biblically forbidden to. And therefore, even the kedushin would already invalidate her, if she's a bas kohen, or if she's a bas yisrael, not allow her to eat truma with that kedushin. Rabbi Elazar and Shimon hold that she is kosher, and the reason is because it doesn't make a difference. Now, biblically, with this valid kedushin, she's considered kinyan kaspi. So, especially as according to the Mishnah Rishayin, after 12 months, then she could already eat from his truma. And regarding the concept of chalala, but as long as they didn't have intimacy yet, because they didn't have nisuin yet, then she didn't become a chalala yet, because she only becomes a chalala when she has this intimacy with him. And therefore, they argue and hold that she is kosher, at least according to Mishnah Rishayin, after 12 months, even in the state of Arusa, to eat truma, even if it's a malak kohen gadol or a grusha b'chalutz kohen hedyed. Now, the Mishnah continues, however, nis'armu lo nis'garshu. If let's say these women become either widowed or divorced from these kahanim, then min hanisuin besulis, if they already had nisuin, then they would already be forever puzzle for kuhn and truma. And the reason is because once there was nisuin and there was bia, then that made her into chalala. So then everyone would agree, even Rabbi Elazar and Shimon, that should be puzzle for kuhuna. But min ha'eris and kasheris, however, if they were only engaged and then they were widowed or divorced, then even Ramey would agree that they would be kosher for kuhuna. And the reason is because this Ramey says that she's puzzled by Arison is only when they're still alive and they're still engaged. Because then, as we said, that the mishtameres lebi psula, they're anticipating, they're waiting, and that's the whole purpose of this kedushin, for this invalid bia. But once they die or they get divorced, then they're not waiting for that. And therefore, since they never became a chalala through nisuin, hence they would be kosher for kuhuna. Now, the Gemara brings regarding this machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, time to learn the braisa. Amr Meir, Meir said, Kavochaima. He says, Kavochaima, like what I'm saying in the Mishnah. Because Uma Kedusha Rishus, if we find by permitted Kedushin, for example, a regular non-Kayan who gets engaged to even let's say a bas kohen, where the kedushin is not an avera, and yet ein machilin, there we say that we don't permit them to eat truma, as actually the Mishnah tells us later on in the Samachsayin Abayis, where Erisin is paislin. Although bas kohen was eating truma up until now when she was single, when she gets engaged to her husband, she stops eating truma. So if that's the case, kedushi avera, if cases like our Mishnah, which are violations, you're not allowed to have a mono getting engaged to a kohen gadol or a grusha to a kohen hedget. Like kashkin, isn't it most definitely that she would stop eating truma? So how do you say she eats truma? So I'm a loy, so Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon respond, loy, no, it's not a kavah chayma. Ima marta b'kedusha rishos, you're right, if you would say by a kedushim that is permitted, shekinein loy, because there he's not a kohen, he's a Yisrael. So yes, of course there she would stop eating truma because he cannot have in any situation a woman that he's engaged to eating truma. But therefore, that you wouldn't be able to have lahachal b'malkam acher to go ahead and feed it in any other situation. But what's with our Mishnah where you're right, it's kedushin that's an avera, but shekein yeshloi, where this kohen does have the opportunity lahachal b'malkam acher to feed in another situation because he's a kohen. Now, although this is a gerusha that he's marrying, and therefore that's forbidden to him, but he's a type of kohen of, let's say, a woman that is permitted to him, he would go ahead and, even in the state of erisin, like we said, at least after 12 months, or biblically even right away, to go ahead and feed her truma. So although you're right, it's kedusha avera, but it's not a kavachem from over there, because there, where he can never give anyone truma, so then yes, it would stop with being engaged, or he wouldn't have it in his authority to be able to give her to eat. But what does it bring a riot over here? Where, although it's kedusha avera, but as we explain our opinion, where she's not a chalala yet, and it is a type of a kohen that could generally go ahead and feed his arusas truma, and therefore, even in this case, with kedusha avera, it would be, as we say in the Mishnah, that machilas, that they could eat truma.